Chapter 24. 1420 hours. November 3, 2552. Military calendar. Sol system. Planet Earth. Medium orbit near UNSC Centennial Orbital Elevator. COE. Fred, Linda, and Will clung to the base of the turret, trying to make themselves as small as possible. It wasn't as imposing a weapon as its larger kin mounted upon Covenant battleships. With an energy coil about one-third the size of a warthog, it was barely capable of concealing three Spartans. A great plan, as long as the weapon wasn't fired. Two Covenant destroyers floated in the dark, their smooth hulls looking more like some deep-sea creature than spacecraft. A dozen Seraph fighter ships and a handful of shuttles angled toward their base ships. Fred gave a quick nod to the others. It was working. At least as well as any plan could that involved three humans against 100 brutes and the combined might of two battle-ready warships. The UNSC Corvette Chalon had come, but not for a daring exfiltration. It had been a bit of misdirection, giving the Covenant ships something to focus on as the Spartans transferred outside the elevator car. When two Covenant dropships came to collect the warheads, Fred, Linda, and Will had stealthed under one of the vessels and, if their luck now held, they would be ferried away. The luck part of this mission couldn't be taken for granted, because above them sat a dozen now-armed Fenris nuclear warheads. A little slice of Armageddon, Will had called it. Their dropship smoothly accelerated toward one of the destroyers, and an open shuttle bay yawned before them. He spotted the other shuttle as they moved to the sister vessel. Then the hull of the destroyer flashed before them and cut off the view. Artificial gravity tugged at them. They'd made it inside. The three Spartans slipped from the underside of the ship and rolled out of the shadows. Fred and Linda took cover around either fork of the hull. Will leapt to the top of the vessel. 10 jackals and a score of grunts stood in the open bay between the twin hulls of the dropship, a space usually encased by a gravimetric field, now dropped to allow them to unload their stolen cargo. Blue team opened fire. 3 jackals dropped, but the remaining vulture-head aliens snapped on their shield gauntlets and fell back. The grunts scattered, and Will concentrated his fire on them, dropping 6, igniting one's methane tank, which exploded into a fireball and wiped out another dozen. Fred and Linda combined fire on the leader jackal in red armor. Its shield shimmered, failed, and armor-piercing rounds penetrated his body, making it shudder and dance. 2 jackals screeched and primed and chucked plasma grenades at Fred. Linda tracked them, fired once, twice, shooting both projectiles mid-toss. The grenades exploded into a spray of half-heated ionized gas, which made the jackals' and Spartans' energy shields shimmer and drain. Meanwhile, a pair of jackals opened fire at Will. He dodged the shots, but was forced back. A plasma bolt singed the hull near Fred, but he ignored it and focused on the pair targeting Will. He flicked his MA-5B assault rifle to full auto and shot. Linda combined her fire, and they dropped the jackals. The last 4 jackals charged Fred and Linda, plasma pistols firing. Linda made a fist and pumped it once. Fred nodded, and he faded back behind the hull, leaving a primed grenade on the ground. He reloaded, waited 2 heartbeats, and then twin blasts shuddered through the hull. Fred moved up and shot the wounded jackal struggling to rise off the deck. He looked for another target. None but the Spartans stood. The cavernous shuttle bay of the Covenant destroyer was empty, save mangled and bloodied corpses of jackals and grunts. Fred pointed at Linda and then to the nukes on the ship. They had to get those things defused. She nodded and moved toward the Fenris warheads. Fred strode to a set of pressure doors and the nearby control panel. 3 Spartans couldn't take a Covenant ship, not under normal circumstances, but Blue Team had 3 advantages. First, they had the element of surprise. What Covenant captain would dream 3 humans might board and capture their ship? Next, Blue Team had been on an enemy warship before, They knew the basic layout. And last and most important, the Covenant were slow to change. While their technology was centuries ahead of the most advanced the USNC could muster, it had become more dogma than science. They didn't innovate. They imitated. Certainly they knew about the capture of the Ascendant Justice by John. If that had happened to a UNSC ship, there would have been new security protocols enacted on every ship in the fleet to prevent it from ever happening again. Fred was betting their lives that the Covenant didn't think like that. He retrieved the ONI datapad, newly updated with Covenant translation software, and set it upon the control panel. Purple lights flickered on the panel near the pad as the pad's network infiltration programs booted, and it slipped into the Covenant ship system. He was in, just like having Cortana around, without the chatter. Fred searched intership messages and found an alert. The team unloading the nukes was overdue to report. A Brute team had been sent to see what was wrong. Will and Linda took cover inside the dropship's cockpit. Fred wished he could join them. They powered up the ship. It lifted, turned, and backed into the far corner to protect the nukes from the next phase of his plan. Fred returned to the datapad. He had little time before the entire ship was alerted to the invading army of three. He scrolled through ship systems and found the icon he needed, an arrow encircling twin dots. Pressurized molecular oxygen. John had shown them that one. Fred overrode the ship's self-seal bulkheads, jammed them open. Every pressure door he secured, ajar. The ONI hackware churned as it stripped away security protocols. He primed the ship's life pods and froze their airlock hydraulics. He flashed his red, amber, and green status lights to give Will and Linda a countdown. As the green winked off, Fred gripped a handle on the wall and clutched the datapad. As the amber light dimmed, he slaved the controls for the energy shield on the shuttle bay, the emergency life pod releases, and the airlock overrides. On red, he punched the master release. A drum roll of thumps pounded the destroyer's hull. The shuttle bay's energy shield vanished. A hurricane pulled at Fred, blew out cargo pods, bodies, tools, small repair ships, and the bodies of jackals and grunts. He clung to the handle. One side of the metal bar bent and pulled free, but then the tremendous gale subsided. All the air had evacuated into space. Fred rechecked his atmospheric reserves. They'd been in combat and on the COE for a long time, where no one was taking tiny breaths. His Mjolnir suit had 7 minutes of air left. He went back to the data pad and checked. All corridors and rooms read zero pressure. Unless there were Covenant forces in pressure suits, this ship was a ghost ship now. Will and Linda joined him. Fred routed power, and the door slid apart. Blue team entered the hallway and quickly made their way toward the bridge. Six dead brutes lay on the floor. For all their ferocity, even they had to breathe. Fred halted at another set of pressure doors and accessed the control panels. Linda knelt by his side, sniper rifle butted to her shoulder, aimed at the center of the doors. Will stood on the opposite side, a grenade in each hand, ready to throw. Fred touched his helmet to the bulkhead and listened, boosting his oral sensors. Nothing. He then keyed the doors open. The oval bridge was empty, but for a single Covenant hunter, who miraculously clung to the railing of the command console. Inside the monster's 8-centimeter-thick armor, its body, composed of a colony of eel creatures, had oozed out and freeze-dried onto the deck. The three Spartans checked the life pod hatches for any sign of the enemy. Fred saw the open space beyond, stars, and the other Covenant destroyer turning toward them. He moved onto the command platform and set the datapad in the interface location. Fred had to hurry. He had to move slow, too. Rushing now might cause errors that could cost them more time. It took all he had to focus on language matrices, numbers, and icons. Will watched from a life pod hatch and whispered over TeamCom, "Destroyer on intercept vector." Fred accessed the datapad's memory and got the slipspace jump solution provided by a nav officer on Cairo Station. He hoped the Covenant ship would accept the human mathematics, or they'd be stuck here. Linda joined Will by the open hatch, peering through her Oracle sniper scope. 10,000 kilometers and closing fast, she said. Arm Fenris warheads, Fred told her. Roger, she said. This was where the luck part of their plan would be stretched to its thinnest. Had the Covenant shuttled the now active warheads onto their ships? Would they notice the detonators had been primed? Confirmation signal lock, Linda said. Okay, come on, Fred whispered to the datapad. The command surfaces lit, and holographic geometries drifted over its surface. A tiny version of the console appeared on his datapad with English translations. Fred grabbed the spherical slipspace command and rotated it. Its ready status winked ultramarine. He input the jump coordinates. The sphere then froze, and a white vector stretched toward tiny stars that appeared over the command surface. A blinking gold starburst appeared to initiate the slipspace transition. 2-second countdown, he told Linda. On my mark. Will pulled the hydraulics from the open hatch, grasped the door, and rolled it back into place. The bridge's main holographic viewer flickered on and showed the closing destroyer. Warning indicators pointed to the ship's heating lateral plasma lines. 2-second timer confirmed, Linda said. Commands accepted and confirmed. All 6 Fenris nukes show armed status. Mark! Fred tapped the jump button. Nothing happened. Black space turned white. Lord Hood watched from the command deck of Cairo Station, ignoring the warbling emergency signals. The Covenant destroyer had maneuvered to optimal plasma range. He hoped the shields of the Spartan-captured ship staved off at least one salvo and gave Blue Team the time they needed. Spartan 104's plan had been inspired, yet in Lord Hood's seasoned opinion, suicidal. Dr. Catherine Halsey had once told him in confidence that Spartans considered it their duty to prove the impossible possible. The Covenant ship's plasma lines reddened, bolts formed, and launched. At the same time, the enemy destroyer flashed inside their energy shields. Its hull glowed and vaporized as the stolen nuclear devices on board detonated. A circle of white light appeared an instant before Cairo Station's polarization shields cut the viewscreens. Thermal and radiologicals showed smears of amber and red mushrooming outward in a wavering torus. Station Wayward Rest had been obliterated as well. The length of the Tallo Negro del Maíz crumpled and fell to the earth. There was no sign of the Spartan-held ship. There was no way to know if they'd succeeded and jumped into slipstream space or not. Lord Hood chose to believe they'd done the impossible and whispered, "Godspeed, Blue Team."